Welcome back to a very special Dual World, then. We are joined once again by Martin.
Hi.
And this time he's brought a friend with him. We're going to go with Peter.
Yeah, that's good.
And these two are just going to share their impressions from Gamescom. So, go for it. You're starting off with Thursday now.
Yeah. It was the first thing we saw, I think, was Skylanders.
Right.
What is it called again this year?
Right.
So I guess the whole gimmick at this point should be clear, right? They have like this new base which allows, and with them you can trap boss enemies and use them to help you. Well, in a way, you actually shortly transform into them and can use their abilities.
Right, and they're elementary linked, so basically you go into a water area and there are water based boss battles, and once you face them and basically defeat them, you can trap them in a little toy that you put on the trap, and that's also elementary based, so you need to put the correct one, you put the water one, and then you can capture one boss and one element at the same time in one basically elementary trap, and once you have them you can switch them out and play with them and keep them also inside of a bank basically.
Hold on. Yeah, so you have to buy toys to trap them, or
you have to buy the traps,
physical traps. They're like small crystal things, and for each of the elements that exist in the game, like fire, water, death, and so on.
Can each trap hold more than one monster? Or
just one monster.
So but you can, like I said, you could bank them.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You can bank them. So it sounds at first very devious. I thought so as well. Like, can I only trap someone once and then that's it? No. You can release a monster from the trap, but it's not really released. You have, like, some bank, so you can always exchange which monster you have in which trap. But of course, the base game only comes with two trap types, the life one and the water one, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, right. And because they're elementary based and there are multiple elementaries inside the game, if you want to capture at least one of each type, you have to at least buy another two different elementary traps so that you can at least face and capture those bosses and play with them later.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I dig how they find new ways to make money off of people with this franchise.
They're very creative. But I have also have to say, it's really done in a cute way. Once you trap a boss, the bass also has a speaker in it, and you hear like some funny boss dialogue of him like being angry or making funny jokes about being trapped and stuff like that. Or depending on... So, every boss also has dialogue that can basically make comments about what you're actually doing in the game, and those differ from boss to boss that you've captured. So that's actually pretty well done, I thought.
Yeah, right. So you're basically playing with the normal characters, but the boss is still in your inside his trap on the base. And you're playing as, and maybe you get hammered a little bit, and the boss is like, come on, you gotta do better than that. You captured me, you know? And once you play with him, he still gives the commentary that then it's not coming from the base anymore, it's coming from inside the game. But once he's still trapped, he commentates on what you do and how you perceive through the game.
Yeah.
Through the speaker on the base.
And the other new thing is now they have some new giant Skylanders. They are called the Trap Masters. I don't think they really told us what's so different about them. I guess they are just big and very strong.
They're powerful, yeah.
Yeah, and of course they have like weapons made out of Traptanium.
Right, right. Element Traptanium, right.
And yeah, that's them. They look pretty cool. They are pretty big models which are highly detailed. And the other thing they now have is like they have also now micro Skylanders or mini Skylanders, I think they're called.
Micro, basically Spyro.
Yeah, there are different kinds. So they have variations of existing Skylanders and new Skylanders, which is just mini versions of them. Those are like, they have more like of a spunky attitude to everything and are mostly quicker and stuff like that. Haven't noticed like something hugely different gameplay wise. Seemed more like just quicker variations, I guess.
Yeah, they have a squeaky voice and a little bit roaming around and making snarky comments and basically being a smaller version of Skylanders you probably already know.
Yeah.
Did they give you a heads up as to how many Skylanders there are now with this game?
Oh, jeez. They said the number.
Yeah, he said, I don't think it includes the new one. I said, in the pre-presentation before the show, the demos, like 178 Skylanders have been released so far. That's including all kinds of limited stuff. I don't think it includes everything from the new one.
Yeah, that might be right. I think the number 200. With a lot of Skylanders.
Yeah. Yes, that is.
I mean, it's not as much as their Pokemon, but you always have to remember this toys.
Yeah, that's say you have to buy 120 Pokemon.
Right. And those also take up physical space in your room, potentially. One more thing, though, is I didn't notice like huge gameplay changes, to be honest, from last year games. And at this point, it seems like they have their formula and just find new ways to implement new toys. And so the only big thing they seem to add was, like I said, changing into the boss you trapped, and they have, like, some small card game in it, a collectible card game, which is not tied to a toy. That's just completely in-game. But who knows? Maybe that's something they do next year.
What I noticed is that the base still has the opportunity to put two normal skies in. One room for the trap element for your boss that is trapped in that element. So if you have a friend over or you have multiple kids at home, you need to realize that they still can play co-op and have their own Skylander, but they only have room for one boss type character. You can basically switch who is playing also with that boss, but it's not two bosses at the same time and no two different elements at the same time.
Yeah. Or again, next year, two trap spots.
Exactly. And maybe we should mention at least the probably big ambitious project for the iPad.
Oh, right. The acting over the entire game to the iPad.
Through the 3D experience.
Yeah, it's the exact same game. And they have
like the real game.
Yeah, they buy the game. I think get code for the game, what you actually buy in stores is a Bluetooth base, and you also get a Bluetooth controller for your iPad.
Alright, so around $80, you basically get the entire game that you'll buy on your console, except it isn't on a disc, but it's basically a download code. You'll get a wireless Bluetooth controller, you'll get a wireless Bluetooth base, and you can still put your normal toys that you already have and the new toys on that on the base, and you can play the game. There are also in-game controls, but you can. It's probably better control with the controller, and you basically have your iPad as a TV, and the download game as a disk drive, and that you play the entire game basically on the road.
Yep. That's pretty smart, actually. I mean, the previous games, they tried to do like these tie-in games, but they always looked very crappy to me. And we all know at this point that a lot of parents are buying iPads or iPhones or what have you for kids, so it seems like a smart move, at least from business standpoint, I guess.
Yeah, we had the game was there, but it was pretty busy in the room. I don't know how without the controller are, but at least it's an entire package, so you don't have to buy separate controller or anything. So everybody who will get the game on iPad will basically have that package to be able to play the entire game how it's quote unquote meant to be.
Yeah. Earl, any questions?
I think I have all Skyrim this out for now. I guess real quick, if I don't know if you folks saw this or not, was Disney Infinity there?
It was, but we had real trouble getting in contact with their PR folks, so we didn't get to check it out.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, different kinds of experience with the different companies at the end for a little bit of a fun part.
No, we're not going to shit out on the companies yet.
No. just by talking a little bit about games we wished we'd seen or maybe seen in lesser capacity than just the regular schedule.
Yeah, and I guess real quick, I know we mentioned Nintendo, but were Amiibos there in any capacity?
Amiibos were there on the show floor, but we only basically mostly been on in the business areas, so we didn't check them out ourselves. But it was just the same models and stuff as E3, so nothing new.
Okay. And that will do it for our toy update for the year.
Right. Until someone of us actually buys one of these games, which will probably be you, Earl.
I'm interested in Amiibo, but it's so non-essential to the game, I don't mind. I'm really tempted by Disney Infinity 2.0, though. Between Marvel and Aladdin, it's really calling my name.
Yeah, Martin already said.
And the last few years, everyone has been saying, at some point I will probably buy Skylanders or the Disney thing, but so far it has not happened. I'm still probably not part of
the world. Thanks me, yay.
So after that we went to Ubisoft, and
right.
One of the things we saw, just you, Petrit, you saw the Division demo, so maybe you talk about that.
Yeah, the Division demo. So they showed what they showed at the Microsoft stream on Tuesday. So that was the same demo, and they showed that in a pre-recorded thing first, and then they played a live demo with two folks and some AI, and so at least two in the room and two AI from the game, and they actually showed the same scenario but from a different angle. So going through it, the same place in a different angle and a different time period. So what they showed at the Microsoft thing was basically it was a base of operations from your enemy inside the game. It was a local post office, and you'll just, you know, come from the subway with a group and take over the area and basically recapture the post office. That was in the Microsoft stream. And what they showed now was actually a little bit earlier in the game. They call it a different time period, but I don't know how that's, you know, going to be played out in the end, what it's called precisely. And basically what they showed, they started at the post office in the live gameplay demo, and the post office was still neutral terrain. Everybody couldn't go in and roam around. It was nobody's territory yet. And we basically recaptured that part, and it was heavily resistant, so we had to first go around, get some different weapons, different tactics, and then basically roam back, and then they shot up the place and took down the enemies with cover system and basically what they showed from the Division, and recaptured that. And what the nice thing you saw was what they were talking about. So this world is so living in different time frames that you'll basically encounter multiple areas that are completely different throughout the game. They played it on the Xbox One version, which I assume they showed that version because of their marketing deal, but it's very strange because it wasn't running particularly well. It didn't look very high res. It definitely didn't look as E3 demos have been looking. So maybe just because they're realizing that they can't achieve what they want to achieve, or maybe it's just because the Xbox One couldn't handle anything more at that time. But it was pretty strange to show a behind closed doors, not at an optimal base. But that's pretty much it.
Maybe why they showed it behind closed doors, though.
Maybe. It might still be also... It's probably still far off.
Right.
I don't think we will see this game before holiday next year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also an indication, you know, the French developers. So they said, like, well, we're pretty ambitious with the 2014 stuff like that. So we're still working on it. And, of course, you know, games are shown behind closed doors because we understand that games can improve over time, but still you want to show your game in probably the most optimal way, and most games are actually shown with, you know, 360 controllers or more and more PS4 controllers on a wire through a like a $5,000 PC. So, and now it was clearly shown on Xbox One with all of the proper look. Didn't do the game any good. You know, the gameplay what was shown was exactly the same as they showed last year's E3, this year's E3, and it wasn't that last year's Gamescom, but at least, you know, around that period what they showed. But it didn't do the game any good. No, it was on Xbox One.
Hmm. Then we have also seen actually Shape Up.
Right.
Because we thought it would be interesting to see. And I have to I was kind of impressed by it. I mean, not by the tech, I mean, just the way they approached the whole idea of a fitness game. Because Petri Dralai, right after we saw the demo, said like, yeah, this basically looks like an arcade game, just that you control with your body.
Yeah, exactly. So what they showed and what they're trying to do is, usually they say fitness games, people want to get them, people actually start using them a little bit. But the game part, the part that you're actually doing, is often extremely boring. So people don't really get along with it for a long time, and then they'll stop playing it after a few weeks, or, you know, maybe pick it up for another week and then just put it down and never to touch again. And what they wanted to do was start by making the game fun first, and then basically building the controls around it on the Kinect, because it's a Kinect only game, it's for Xbox One only. And so what they did was, in a pretty clever way, I have to say, was you'll still have your boring, quote-unquote boring, fitness routines with a schedule that you're going through in 4 week time. But what they did was making essentially an RPG for it. So what they did was you start on day one, on week one, and you're basically a starting hero like in any RPG. And once you're going through those days, you actually, you know, go through a little adventure. But every time you basically play mini games, you will control them with your body. So blocks fall out of the sky, you hit them with your fist, or you'll have a little memory game. So you'll see different kinds of colored balls around the side, like green or red or blue, and you'll see them for a few seconds, and then they'll disappear, and they basically put a cloth over it. So, like, we remember the colors and remember the ones in which order they're presumed, and then blocks come into the sky, and you have to physically grab them with your hands and pull them to your knee, like some kind of karate move, like core move. And you have to do that to pick the right ones from the right order for yourself. So it's basically memory and fitness into one. And every time you play that, it's recorded. And once you go and play the same game the next day, it shows you yourself, because it's recording you, from the day before, competing against yourself on the next day. And so basically you actually want to increase your memory and your fitness throughout this entire training. So because you're competing essentially with yourself, you see yourself next to you on screen. And I would say, like, even for the demo guy, that's pretty motivating, instead of like having a, you know, boring avatar who is basically standing there and doing, just showing you the numbers. Oh, yesterday you did 150 and now you do 155. It's like, eh, that's not fun. But once you see yourself hitting those blocks and seeing how all out you went yesterday, you want to improve what you did on the next day.
Yeah. After that, we have seen, oh no, I think that was me alone then, right? Far Cry 4?
Right, we got, you know, a little schedule thing was going on, so we had to split up, and then you got to see Far Cry, and that was in the same moment as I went to the Division, but we saw Heroes and Might and Magic first, right? Together.
Yeah, well, let's continue with Far Cry first.
Right.
So Far Cry 4 was kind of a two-part demo. The first part was me in the Himalayas, like high up in the mountains, and my objective was to kill the boss of some gang or paramilitary organization or something, and the idea was I had knives, be it in close quarters combat or throwing knives, and I had to also take a picture of him dead that way to confirm that I actually did my objective. And that that part of the demo very much felt like Far Cry 3, I have to say. Tagging enemies with my camera, sneaking around, trying to not be seen, and then at the end actually killing the guy. But they introduced a couple of new things. Like, I had this little crossbow gun, which was interesting because it was very silent, but it has pretty big drop-off, so I have to get close. And the other thing, can even the animal in the environment, we had, like, instead of a grenade, I could also throw bait, which is just a chunk of meat. And once you do that, you attract predators. And in my case, it was I saw like all these patrols are basically collecting or meeting each other in the middle of this in the center of this small village. And I thought like, well, I should probably throw bait in there, right? So I threw bait in there, and then two bears appeared, and the bears then attacked the military guys for me. Only problem was, once the military guys were dead, I still had to deal with the bears myself, because they, of course, were still alive. Thankfully, they didn't have that much health left, so I got it done pretty quickly. And then I killed the boss just by putting a throwing knife in. Then the end thing, though, was really interesting, because it actually showed the how they extend the glide feature you have had in the last game, the wingsuit. Because at the end I had a mountain, and basically what happened was, like, the whole level part was like me going through the cliffs, avalanches happening, then an attack helicopter actually appeared, and I had to get out of the way of that thing as well. So it really seems like they're actually expanding the whole wingsuit gameplay feature, which was in Far Cry 3, but kind of rarely used, I thought.
But all how much room did you have for Manu? How scripted did that feel, the wingsuit part?
That wingsuit part was pretty scripted, I have to say, though. Yeah, that was definitely not open, but you definitely can open the wingsuit at any point if you jump off from somewhere high.
Right,
it's definitely a possibility.
Did they showcase any of the co-op multiplayer aspect?
No, but what it did show was then the second part, which I played, which is completely different from the main game. Well, it's still a first-person shooter, but it's different in the sense of during your adventures in the Himalayas, you sometimes will find tapestries of an old legend. And you then, apparently, he told me, you meditate over those tapestries, and what happens then is you will relive the adventures of this mythical hero. And this mythical hero, he just has a bow and arrow, and you have a tiger with you, which you can also use in combat, like letting the tiger attack specific people. So that whole thing felt very different, because the whole time you had your tiger to help you out, you just had the bow and arrow, which has the special ability to slightly slow down time when you pull the arrow full back. And the enemies are also quite different, because they're also more mythological, right? So they can make themselves invisible or jump around in very unrealistic ways and stuff like that. So that part felt a little bit more out there. And it also looked very different because it all was just so red and brownish, and it looked very, you know, organic, more than the usual Himalayan mountains you would expect, right?
Basically, looked like a dream sequence. What I could see, basically, a little bit more blurry, a little bit more focused.
Yeah, At times, definitely. Also, there were some puzzle elements there as well. I thought that part was actually really cool. So while the standard gameplay seemed like slightly improved, the mythical elements looked actually pretty cool.
Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Okay.
So
Heroes of Might and Magic?
Yeah, the last thing when at Ubisoft was Heroes of Might and Magic, or apparently they now just called Might and Magic 7.
Right.
I don't know, what can we say? It looks like more Might and Magic Heroes, right? I didn't see much different things happening there, except that they dumped the game kind of down in the last iteration. It seems like they're getting more to the roots again.
Yeah, the biggest message was basically being, we try to listen to fans and we want fan feedback. Just one year, they realized that a lot of people didn't actually like the previous few parts, so they felt like, well, why don't you just, you know, go and ask the community what they exactly want, and I'll try to at least incorporate most of it.
Yeah, and I am kind of hopeful that they actually will achieve that, because this game, also now the developer changed, it's now made by Limbic Games, or Limbic Systems, I think Limbic Games is right, who made the
expansions?
They made expansions before, but the last thing they did was Might and Magic X, so the 10th real Might and Magic title, which came out, I think, a couple of months ago, which is really interesting, because that game actually was like a real return to old-school, turn-based, first-person RPGs. So I'm kind of hopeful that they will actually achieve that.
Okay. Was that it for Ubisoft?
Yeah, that was basically it for Ubisoft.
Can I ask, was the crew there? Because that is still out this year, right?
Yeah, the crew was there, but we didn't have the time to see it.
Yeah, we didn't really have time, no.
You mean you chose not to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't particularly interested to see the crew.
I'm interested in the game, but the closed beta was going on a few weeks ago in the US only, and for what it seems, people liked it, but there's still lots of bugs in it. Of course, that's why it's a beta, but it seemed kind of buggy for a game that has a release date coming out this fall. It announced that there is a last-gen version 360 only. That's basically only news from Gamescom for the crew.
Oh yeah, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, very weird.
Also, but the reasoning behind it was also weird.
Yeah, I didn't actually hear that. What was the reason?
They said something about the online infrastructure is more similar on 360 to the new console, and that's why it makes it easier for them or something.
Oh, was it online? I thought it was
basically the same reasons as developers used in, like, 07. That's really weird, yeah.
Hey, if they cheat, whatever. Whatever. Okay, so yeah. Who was there?
I thought the reasoning sounded weird because we had other games on last gen that did similar things, and that those games also worked on all the consoles, but
yeah, I thought
whatever.
They said it was because of the architect that the 360 was most similar to the PS4 and the Xbox One in order to quickly port it.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, maybe. I don't know.
Still, that makes a bit more sense because it does use the
The next thing was basically the last thing on Thursday was Lords of the Fallen. That was, I actually had no idea what that game was before I saw it.
I was the one who was hyping it up.
Yeah, Petrit basically just told me, it's basically the idea is they want to make a Western developed, I think the developer is Polish Dark Souls. So, that kind of got me. So, I said, okay, sure, let's check that out. And we went in, I got to try it. And the first thing the developer actually said to me, like, okay, these are the controls, they're kind of complicated. You know what? Let's make this. Have you played any of the Souls games? It's like that. So they're really not afraid to play up that they are very, very influenced by the Souls games. I mean, the control, the whole control setup felt basically like those games, with having the right, both right triggers associated to your right hinder tracks, having the left triggers to block and counter and stuff like that. They even have like a system in the game of you have these health potions. They are in the demo there were 5, and then you can use them up, and then you replenish them at certain points. But so all these concepts are kind of in there, but the interesting part, of course, is the more interesting part for me was how it looked. I thought they have some really beautiful art design in that game. Some very interesting monster designs. Especially some of the armor designs looked spectacular. I thought even better at times than what FromSoftware has done, and those guys know what they're doing. Also, actually playing it, it felt really good, I have to say. Maybe a bit snappier than the Souls games actually do. So getting accustomed to the movement was actually a bit easier. But it's still all about like getting to know your enemies, realizing what the patterns are, and then actually executing on your tactics so you can defeat those enemies. So again, like even the normal guys you just meet can easily kill you.
Yeah, so basically it's a, for folks who don't know, Lords of the Fallen is basically a third-person action game without the Dark Souls name attached to it.
Yeah.
And they started developing at Last Gen, and by the time they realized when they wanted to finish it, so skip the Last Gen, we'll do Next Gen and PC only, or Current Gen and PC only. And that allowed them to basically have all kinds of physics and kinds of effects and all kinds of extra pretty graphics that did actually not, weren't possible on the previous gen. And it actually shows, it actually really shows that it isn't a cross-gen game. You know, it's a physical element of really swinging your sword, going through the enemies, and also having all kinds of armor effects going on and lighting at the same time truly are things that you actually couldn't make it happen, or at least not as beautiful as this game. And I chose this game to look at it because it's extremely underhyped. It's coming out the same day as Assassin's Creed Unity. It has no press. It's basically gonna bomb real hard, and this game really doesn't deserve it as it seems for now. So it's pretty strange.
Yeah, we have to see though how this whole thing on the full game. I mean, it's easy to approve a short demo. We will see how their designs actually hold up over a full game, I have to say.
Yeah.
But what I saw looked definitely promising. Not like a terrible game, which you would expect, because apparently these guys also worked before on Enemy Front. There was this terrible World War II show shooter that came out shortly after Wolfenstein this year. Yeah.
when is this out?
It's out, he said, out the same day as Assassin's Creed this year, Unity.
Which, he was going to say which one.
So it's end of October.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is for current
gen. PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Does it have any sort of online functionality like Demon's Souls, Dark Souls?
Petrit, you
talked
to them?
I didn't actually ask them. It talked for him for like almost 40 minutes or something like that, and it didn't actually talk about any online, but I assume he would have mentioned it if it's truly like a big feature like how it's implemented into the Souls games.
Yeah, during the demo I didn't notice anything that would suggest that they have something like that. It looked more like a single-player experience. But I can't say for sure.
No, not for sure.
Okay. What is next?
First day, early morning.
Friday.
Sorry, Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
My timing is still off. Friday, early morning, we arrived, so I had some time to check out some Sony stuff. Petrit organized some fast passes for Bloodborne for us, which is the new game from Software, where Miyazaki is actually the creator behind Demon's Souls, the first Dark Souls, actually involved with again. And I got to play the demo. It was totally playable for everyone on the show floor. And immediately I was again impressed by the whole design of the city that they have in this game. Just, it's this weird fusion of Victorian London and fantasy, I would say. And
yeah, basically
it
fantasy looked, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, it looked spectacular, I thought. And gameplay-wise, of course, very Souls-ish, but the big difference in this game is no more shields. So it's all about your movement and using both your weapons. Since, you know, it seems like you will always dual wield. So on the left hand, you have a gun, which is also new. And in the right hand, you will have a melee weapon. And in the case of this demo, where there were two setups. In one setup, we had this weird scythe something weapon thing that we have seen in the trailers before, which can has a shorter range, but can take in a faster way, or you can expand the whole thing, and then it's a longer, slower weapon, which gives you lots of new technical opportunities, even mid-battle, which I thought was cool. And then the gun, you don't actually have lots of ammunition, is what I immediately noticed. I think they start you out with like 5 shots. I was able to find a couple of shots here or there, but it seems like the shots will be more of a rare resource, or at least one that's not going to be available in abundance. And it also doesn't seem to do much damage. From play time, it seems more like a weapon that you use to interrupt enemy attacks more than actual them with. Especially there were like enemies that also do wield. There was this one guy with a huge axe and a torch in the other hand. His axe attack was really slow, so it was kind of easy to dodge. But he was really quick with attacking with the torch and setting you up and on fire. So as soon as you saw him trying to torch you, it was a good idea to basically interrupt his attack with a gunshot and then get switching over to your melee attack and then finishing the guy off that way. Also, some people have been talking a lot about like, I think From actually saying like, if they want to appeal to a wider audience, blah blah blah. All I can say is, this was still very difficult. This is not going to be a mass market game even now. I died once. It was a moment where I wasn't careful enough. I didn't notice that there was a guy with some kind of handgun behind a carriage, and then I was in between two guys, and that didn't end well for me. But what was your experience like, Petrit?
So, yeah, I noticed immediately that it looks like a Souls game at a completely different setting. It doesn't feel Middle Ages anymore at all. There are all kinds of things that we recognize as a modern society from earlier parts in our history, like carriages and streetlights and people using modern architecture and stuff like that. So it's completely different just from a visual perspective and still extremely beautiful. And so, yeah, as a third-person Souls game, it basically played like one. Main big takeaways were that you usually do a lot of rolls in these games, depending on how you build your character. Most people with a light or a medium light build use a lot of rolls. And I immediately saw that you couldn't roll anymore, at least not in the builds that they gave us. You basically do a sidestep or a side dodge, and if you hold down the was it the hold down the button? You'll basically go around, make a half a circle around the enemy if he's timed and placed exactly correctly. And so rolling seems to be gone, at least for now, in these builds, and that changes up the game a lot. And because you don't have any shields, you basically have to really quickly dispose of your enemies far more. You'll put up your shield in these Souls games, and then you'll basically see his attack pattern, and once he repeats it, you'll understand, like, oh, now I can have room to strike at him. But without shields, you basically have your gun for it. That's basically a shatter shot, and it doesn't do really any damage. Like Martin said, it basically stops their animation of attacking you, and then you'll hit him once or twice, and then they'll fall down depending on the strength of your enemy. But it truly replaces the going, essentially rolling away from your enemy, seeing his pattern, and going in with your shield, and once he's just had a moment of weakness, you'll hit him. Basically determines you to strike immediately, and, well, move on to your next enemy.
Yeah, and in that sense, I guess it's actually faster paced than the old titles, and it becomes more about spacing and interrupting than about.
Right.
I mean, patience is still part of it, but
hugely.
But it's sped up in a way that's very interesting, I think.
So, basically, if you're a fan of Dark Souls, you'll get into this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the people are freaking out about the wider appeal. At least from the demo, I couldn't see it. It was like 10 enemies in front of me, and I could maybe deal with 3 of them, and by luring them a little bit away from each other, but still, it was like a few hits, and you're dead.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, to be fair, it was from software.
Yeah, it was, but what I think is, like, probably what we noticed, like, that it's a bit, I mean, on maybe also the different visual design and stuff, is probably more what they mean with the wider appeal, I think, than the difficulty. At least that's what I assume.
Yeah, Miyazaki has a quote out there from E3, like, one of the journalists in the room where he's doing a demo at E3, like, is this game going to be any easier? And he said, like, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Then I saw, since I was there so early, I got to check out a couple of other Sony titles.
Right.
I actually saw Bloodborne because I told you, and the order was important. And start this way. First, the positive. I think the order looks absolutely fantastic. The whole idea of matching the gameplay graphics and the graphics absolutely works. It already ran really well, I thought. Looks spectacular. Problem is, it absolutely plays like everything you've seen before. It's a first person cover-based shooter. There was nothing at all that I haven't seen before in any other game. I guess the most interesting part was the thermite gun, which, well, it's kind of a machine gun, but it's very inaccurate. But you basically shoot with it at your enemies, and the idea is that while not as accurate, it creates this thermite mist around them, and then you can ignite it with the secondary fire function, which is fun. But like I said, overall, I really thought this was kind of disappointing.
I mean, did they give you any indication that this could be an early demo?
It was the same demo that was shown to press earlier this year.
Yeah, around February time.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Ask.
No, I was gonna say hopefully it turns around, because it does. I mean, that was my takeaway from E3. Is it does seem to be it seems to be a very cinematic, but it seems to be a very typical third person shooter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got a chance to check out Quantum Break, but that seems to have the similar problem.
Yeah, I didn't see more Quantum Break than you did.
Okay.
But yeah, I would agree. From what I've seen, I also think Quantum Break has the same problem. Like, they play up the whole time travel thing, but in the end, it's like, yeah, okay, this is contextualized with time-related powers, but in the end, his one power is just moving very quickly from one position to another. It doesn't really change anything. And the other thing, I think, was some kind of stasis field, but that's also, like, nothing we haven't seen before, to be honest.
Yeah, it seems like the order, this setting is going to be the one thing that should appeal to people, and the visual basics in gameplay is far so far. Will be maybe the monster and will be anything that's interesting gameplay wise. They didn't have that in the demo here, they just had human enemies. Maybe the monster part is just essentially better or fun to play, but it doesn't really seem like it. Seems like just another creature that you shoot.
Yeah. And the last thing I checked out at Sony was Drive Club actually. This year I actually got to play it like last year.
Right.
And I think that extra year seems what I really enjoyed, actually. It also feels way more arcadey than I even thought it would. It feels way more like a Need for Speed game than a simulation game, most definitely. I mean, they said before that it's not a simulation, but because of how it looks, you often think, like, well, maybe they will find some form of middle ground here, but it really felt more very arcadey in a Need for Speed sense. And the other thing is that it now also performs really well. I mean, they are not 60, but the 30, they never lose track of those 30 frames a second. And in that game, I mean, people have probably seen the videos and GIFs and stuff out there. It looks quite spectacular in motion, I have to say. Unlike before, when I thought, like, yeah, Drive Club, I don't know, I'm now actually kind of looking forward to it.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, it would suck if it sucked after a year of extra development time. I'm going to ask this to either one of you.
Yeah.
Vita titles?
Not really. No?
I really have a hard time even thinking if I saw it on the show floor, now that you mention it.
Yeah, no, not really any demo stations with a big sign on, like, come play video here or something like that.
I think Morpheus was probably more obvious to see than the Vita.
Did you check out the Morpheus?
Yeah, that's not even a real thing yet.
Or was it just kind of... Did they have any games for that?
Sadly not. They had the improved versions of these small games that earlier, like the Shark demo and stuff like that. But the problem was you had to pre-book your appointments apparently super early, and I tried to get one still, but it just wasn't possible. Sadly.
Okay. I guess while I'm asking about companies, I guess this is at the end of Friday, Microsoft?
I swung by Microsoft, but, well, I played one of their games, well, kind of one of their games. It's at least an exclusive game from them. It was Dance Central Spotlight. I never played a Dance Central game before, because I don't like motion gaming very much, and... I was always very skeptical about the Kinect, but having played Dance Central, I thought that game works very well with the Kinect, and was actually quite fun to play. Well, although, like, you probably know, Dance Central Spotlight is not exactly, well, it's a new game, but it's their approach to having, like, a cheaper game. They are probably going to, I think Nick said they're putting this out for $10.
$10, right.
It comes with 10 songs, and after that, you can expand the game with extra songs however you want from microtransactions. And I think that's probably a good idea. I always had problems with these bringing out sequels to music titles with like 30, 60 songs or whatever they have, and maybe I like a third of them, and then I have to shell out more money and buy myself some more. So I think that's actually a pretty good idea to do it that way.
Yeah, starting with a base, with a few popular songs that quote-unquote most people would like, and then expand, having like tens of songs on day one, and then planning to put out songs every week, and also planning to, because they're changing from the 6 to the 1, it's a little bit difficult for them to, it will take them more time. They're trying to, at least who people who bought the first 3 days, to bring over their library with for a small fee. But there are no details on that yet, because it's still not determined how that exactly will work. But they who own those games through your account system, and they know people trust them to bring that platform over. They're working on that.
Yeah. And then I saw at Microsoft, that was like, for me, like after Sony checking out like some Microsoft things, actually not Microsoft games. Well, I saw a bit of TJ Combo and Killer Instinct, which looked fun.